So, if you will, turn in your Bibles today. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. And today we're going to be focused with our theme of this ministry expo as we get ready to kick off a new year next year. Hard to believe that we're ending the ministry year of 2017-18 and about to kick off 2018-2019. And I want us to look at the subject of the church in the last days, because I believe that we are living in the last days, and we are the church in the last days. And, you know, God is very gracious to us in that he tells us, what are we supposed to do as a church in the last days? So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask that over the next few moments that you would prepare our hearts, Lord, to remember that we are a part of this great body called Grace Baptist Church and that you have a vision and a plan to work in and through us. And God, I pray that your people would respond this morning to be able to say, we are ready to be equipped, we are ready to be empowered, we are ready to be able to go and do the ministry of the church. And Lord, we look forward through this ministry expo of connecting a lot of new people to using their gifts to be able to serve. And Lord, we pray for those today who may not have that relationship with you. Lord, in these last days, Lord, you are still bringing lost men and women and children to yourself. And Lord, maybe even today you would be so gracious to help someone understand the gospel. So, Lord, we just give this time to you and pray that you would do a good work in our midst. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I love different seasons. And I love fall coming up because that's my favorite season of all. I love the cooler temperatures. I think everybody can say amen to that. But I also just love everything about the fall. I'm just a big football fan. I go in depression after February, after the Super Bowl, and you know, we're getting close to kickoff. There's all this good food and good smells of the fall, the beautiful colors and all that type of stuff. But with every season, there's always pros and there's cons. And there's seasons of life. And with each season, it brings potentially new and exciting things, but there's also challenges that you got to face. You remember what it was like a teenage and years, and you finally, okay, well, now I'm going to be an adult. And you remember what it was like to be out on your own? And you're excited that finally I'm not a teenager. I can be an adult and go out and be on my own. It's exciting. But it's also scary. Because you're on your own and you can do what you want, but you're on your own and now you're responsible for everything. Remember what it was like getting married? It's exciting to be able to share your life with that new person. But then there's also the reality that you're giving up your singleness. You're giving up your freedom. I know for me, it was really hard back on the East Coast. I told you I love football. And we really struggled because Monday night football didn't start until 9 o'clock. And so it didn't end until 12:30 or 1. And I learned real quickly that Christine said, okay, you can watch maybe two or three games out of the year. And we worked a compromise. I could watch the first half and then I'd have to go to bed. But she couldn't sleep unless I was there with her. And so I had to realize I had to give that up. Before, when I was single, I could stay up till 1 o'clock and watch the overtime game. Didn't matter. But there's this newness of this season, and then there's also the challenges. You especially know that if you've had a child. That child comes in and you're just so excited. There's so much joy. You're holding, and can't believe that miracle is in your arms until you bring it home and it starts crying all night. And you're going, why did I pray this into my life? And there's these blessings in this season of life, but then there's also looking 18 years down the road. Okay, well, one day you're going to be out of the house and I'll be back to normal again. But with every season, there's this excitement, but there's also challenges. And in the season that we see here that's addressed in this passage is the end of all things, the last days. And we know that the church of Christ will be around forever and ever and ever. But its ministry on earth will not. There will be a time that it will come to an end. And so Peter instructs, listen, church, this is what you need to do in this season to be ready. Next week, we're going to start a new sermon series called The Days of Elijah. We're going to work through the life of Elijah. And we're going to look at how Elijah was able to have faith of hope in some evil days. And how many of you know we're living in evil days? And that sort of represents what is taking place in these last days. And yet, God has very specifically said, listen, this is what I want you to be about. So let's take a look real quickly of what is the church to be about in the last days? And the first thing I want you to see is that he wants us to love God in prayer. Notice he says in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. That word there for serious means to be reasonable, to be sound-minded, to be prudent. The implication is that there is an urgency and that there is a focus in the prayers that we offer. The assumption was that the church would be coming together and praying. And that seems like, if you asked, what should a church do? It should come together and what? Pray. And even as the days get more and more evil, you would think the church would be even more intentional about coming together to do this one thing. To what? To pray. And yet, guess what's the most difficult thing to get a church to do together? Pray. And he says, listen, in the last days, this is where the power is. You have to come here and be serious and watchful in prayer. That word watchful means to be sober. It means to be self-controlled. It's to pray and then believe that God is going to respond. For the church, the most exciting time that we should have together is when we pray and then we begin to look and say, God, we've been asking these things. Now we're going to look and watch you respond. Many churches have large Sunday morning services. And then they'll have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. It used to be a part of a great church in North Carolina, and they'd run 2,000 on a Sunday morning. Me and my wife would come on Wednesday night to the chapel where there were 15 people that would come together and pray. Now, I'd like to tell you, Grace Baptist Church is totally different. You know, I mean, we have our connect time on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And we have everybody that's here also praying. But let me tell you, the truth is that we're not serious and we're not watchful about prayer. You see, when we read this, oftentimes, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers, we tend to think individually. We tend to think of, again, Rambo. And it's just one man against the world and he can take everybody down. But that's not what that "your" is. It's not in the singular. It's in the plural. It's talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about the church. He's saying, listen, I want the church to come together and pray. And I want you as a body to be sober and watchful and serious and urgent and intentional in the prayers that you offer. Because when you are obedient, then you show your love for God. And God says, listen, if you have any hope about getting through the last days, if you have any hope in being able to make an impact, it's not going to happen if you don't come together and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. There should have at least been one amen there. But this is the reality, folks. If we don't come together and pray, there's not going to be power unleashed. And we can say, well, it's so hard to get up early in the morning. I know it is. It is a sacrifice of praise. It is a sacrifice of faith. Saying, God, we believe if we're obedient, you'll do what you say you will do. You see, if you read this, this isn't found in what is called the suggestive tense. It's a command by the Lord. I want you to be serious and watchful in your prayers in the last day. Look, and we have so many blessings in the United States of America. We have more churches, we have more Bible translations, we have more TV ministries, radio ministries, Christian bookstores, we have all these Christian artists, we have everything that you could imagine. And then we wonder, how come every single year, less and less people go to church, more and more people don't identify with God, more and more people don't want to be with the church? Why are we losing ground? God, why isn't it working? We have all these things. Let me tell you, you can do all the things, but if you do it in your power, it has no effect. You have to do it in the power of God. And this is the way the body of Christ connects to the power of God. It is through prayer. And there's no other way. Church in Acts. They came in one accord through prayer, and man, God unleashed power. It wasn't easy. I'm not saying life gets easy. I'm just saying there's power unleashed. And how many of you want to say, man, I want to be a part of a church where the power of God is unleashed and I see God doing great things in and through us? We all say we want it, but guess what? In order for it to happen, you have to be what? You have to be obedient. You have to connect to God in prayer. I implore you, as we begin this new year, it's time to hit the reset button. Don't worry about what you used to do. Just look at, all right, 2018-19 ministry year starts next year. At 9 o'clock, I'm going to be there and pray. Because God, what we realize is we have to come together. And God, I don't understand it, and I don't understand how it works, but I can tell you this, when we are obedient, God does what he says he will do. And if we will come together and pray as a church, God will do amazing things. Will we be obedient? Will we love God through prayer? Secondly, I want you to see that we have to love others fervently. Notice what he says in verse 8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. That word for fervent means to be able to love with a passion, to be eager without ceasing. It continues. It's committed. It's sacrificial. It's a mark of a Christian is that we will love one another. Notice what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not have love. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have for him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Did you realize that there's no option there? It's not, I love God and I don't have to love the church. I love God and I don't have to love the people in the church. God says, if you love me, you'll love your brother and sister also. And what he says, I'm not talking about a love of, okay, I'll tolerate you. But he's saying, I'm going to fervently, passionately, sacrificially love you. Let me be honest with you. When I have people who are having trouble in their marriages, this is the first piece of advice I give them. Do you pray with each other? You know, it's really hard to pray with somebody and then get in a fight with them. Now, as a married couple, you should be praying with each other anyway, amen? But most of the time, I've never had anybody who's been having marriage problems come up to me and say, well, Pastor, we're already praying together all the time. They always go, oh, okay. Well, let me tell you, how many of you know that when we pray together as a church, what happens is God unites our hearts and makes us into one accord, and it brings unity. You see, we have to pray, and then what it does is it produces this atmosphere that allows us to be able to love. And notice he gives us three marks of what this fervent love looks like. First of all, he says there is going to be forgiveness. He says, listen, for love will cover a multitude of sins. This is what love is like, is that we do not hold on to the debt and the offenses that others have committed against us. That we are easily willing to be able to forgive. You know, many of us have been hurt by a church member before, amen? If it hasn't happened, let me promise you this, it will happen. But let me tell you this, you're probably going to hurt a church member also. And this is why the Bible says, listen, you want to be able to have a love, because if you're going to be able to keep things going and working, you're going to have to be a type of people where there is forgiveness and you're able to move over this bitterness and hurt, and you're to be able to love and forgive one another. Well, how are we to forgive? Well, notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Uh-oh. How much am I supposed to forgive my brother when he offends me? Just as much as Jesus forgives me. Well, how much did Jesus forgive you and me? Praise God, he didn't forgive us partially. He forgave us totally. You see, isn't that the gospel, that we were had an offense, that we had disobeyed God, that there was a debt that was owed, that God loved us, and God sent his son, and he died in our place, and Jesus took all of our sin on Calvary, and he paid the penalty, and he died, and 3 days later, he rose again, and when he was on the cross, he says, it is finished. He didn't say, listen, I forgive you of most of your sins. He says, I forgive you of what? All of your sins. The debt is paid in full. We are forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, it was crimson red, and now it's made as white as snow. And this is what Scripture commands, that we forgive one another. Now let me tell you, true forgiveness is never easy. It's the hardest thing that you'll ever have to do. But this is why when we're praying, then we have a power that is unleashed to us to be able to truly forgive one another and keep no wrongs. Secondly, notice it says that we're to be hospitable. We're to be people of hospitality. Notice he says, be hospitable to one another in verse 9. You see, the word there for being hospitable means to welcome in. It's to be able to dwell and share life together. It's fellowship. It's sharing the joys of life and the sorrows together. It's the ups and downs. It's investing in one another. It's realizing that church is not a building, but church is the people. And when I make a commitment to the church, I'm not making a commitment to a service. I'm not making a commitment to a pastor. I'm making a commitment to the Lord and the body that I am in, the people that I am connected to. Now, there's many people that go to church today that are really the type of people we want to emulate. Maybe you've heard of some of these people. How many have been to In-N-Out? Okay? That's a great place to get a burger, but that's not the type of Christian we want to be. There's a lot of people that just show up for service and then they leave. And all they do is they come in and then they're out. That's not being hospitable. Some of us are the sponge. We soak everything up that the church can offer, but we never give anything in return. That's not being hospitable. Then there's the Burger King Christian. Unless it's done my way, I'm not participating. It's got to be my way. You got to do it my way. If you do it my way, I'll participate. But if you don't do it my way, I'm done. And then there's the entertainer. Well, you know what? I don't really feel fed here. Oh, you don't? Well, you only come to service once a month. You don't come to Sunday school. You don't come to men's or women's Bible study. You probably aren't fed here. I can't make friends here. Oh, you can't. I never see you at the socials that we have. Or what home group are you a part of? I'm not. Oh, you probably can't make friends here. You see, there's so many times that we look and we're just coming for entertainment. And it's got to be what we want, and our sensations and our feelings have to be tickled in the way that we want it. And if not, we're not interested. Well, listen, this is not about us. It's not about you. It's about us coming together and being a body. And it's not about what we want. It's about what God wants. And we have to be able to come and say, listen, God wants us to be hospitable. And let me tell you something. This is the only way that we can love one another. I'm going to give you a little secret. You might want to write this down. The only way that you can love someone is for you to spend time with them. You see, if you say, man, I love God a lot, I love God so much, how much time do you spend praying? Not at all. Well, if you're not spending time in God talking to Him, that relationship can't be very close. And that can be individually, but we have to ask as a church, how much time do we spend just talking to God and being with Him? But then with one another, you say, listen, all I do is I come to the Sunday morning service. Praise God for the Sunday morning service. I love it. But let me tell you, if I had to choose, I would rather you go to Sunday school, I would rather you be involved in a small group than to be involved in a Sunday morning service. And that's the honest truth. Because we have a great time. I love the fellowship time when we walk around and say hello to everybody. That's awesome. But how many of you ever are really going through a bad day? You just lost your job and everybody's walking around. How you doing today? How you doing today? Terrible, man. I just lost my job. Everything's terrible. We don't do that. It's good. It's good. Good to see you. Good to see you. We just smile. You see, we need to be hospitable. We need to welcome other people in our life. And the only way we can do that is to be able to say we're going to be people who make time for other people. That's what it means to be hospitable. And this is what we are called to do. And then, notice in verse 9, he says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. He says, no complaining. That word grumbling means to not complain, not to murmur. Isn't it a lot easier to tear down than to build up? I tell you, if you wanted to be used by Satan to be able to say, man, I just want to ruin everything, let me tell you, just start complaining. That's why so many churches are struggling, because there's no unity. There's no prayer, there's no hospitality, and there's just murmuring and complaining and griping. And when all that takes place, there's no building up, it's just a tearing down. And it's hard to be a person who doesn't complain. But these are the type of people we are. We've got to be open to saying, you know what, I'm willing to receive others and not complain about it. I'm willing to host home group, and it's okay. They can meet in my house, and man, I hope they don't break anything, but I'm just not going to be a person who complains about everything. It's okay if we have dinner and it's not what I wanted on the menu that night. I'm still going to show up. It's okay if we do a ministry and it looks different. As long as it's still reaching and touching people, that's what I want. I want to see our church still staying focused on the vision. It may not be my personal need, but I'm willing to do things and not talk about it and try to bring it down and bring discouragement, but I want to be an encourager. How many of you know you can do the right thing with the wrong attitude and it ends up still tearing down instead of building up? And what he says here is, listen, I don't want you to be hospitable and just go through the motions. He's saying, listen, I want you to be hospitable and love one another and do it without complaining. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without complaining and disputing. So we need to love God through prayer. We need to be able to love others fervently. And then the last thing I want you to see is that we need to reach the world using our gifts. Notice in verse 10, he says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Peter comes here and he says, listen, each one of you has been given at least one spiritual gift. When you were born physically into this world, you were given talent. There were things that you were able to do that God just gave you. You didn't know what they were. They had to be discovered. They have to be explored. But once you figured it out, you realize, man, God gave me some pretty cool stuff. Now, sometimes we look at other people and go, man, I wish I had their stuff. But that's not how God designed you or me. I wish sometimes I could sing like Adam. But I can't. I sing terrible. But you know what? I still sing, but I don't sing on the worship team because I want to be a blessing in a different way. Right? And the reality is we're not to covet what other people have. We're be able to look at what we have and be able to say, God has given me this. Now I need to use this to be a blessing to Him. And when you become a Christian, you have been born again, and at that same time, you are endowed with spiritual gifts, spiritual talent. And the Bible says, listen, you're going to be held accountable for the stewardship. Notice he says in verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given you the gift. God expects you to use the gift, and He expects you to use it in the body that you are placed in. Now, I hate to say it, but there's a few of us who are pew sitters, right? And that's okay. Sometimes we have to have a season of pew sitting. It's okay. Sometimes we go through just some terrible experience in life and we that's okay. You know, it's sort of like your arm gets broken. And so the other arm just has to do more, right? But then once the arm gets healthy, the arm should what? Doesn't take off the rest of his life. It starts to what? Starts to get involved again. And listen, it's our responsibility, all of us, because we're held accountable. If God has saved you, then he's given you a spiritual gift, and it's your responsibility to use your spiritual gift in the body in which he has placed you in. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of who? For the profit of all. God has given you a gift to be a blessing to everybody else here. Notice he did not say he gave you a gift so that you could bless yourself. The gift that he's given you as a spiritual gift is not for you. The gift that he has given you is to be used to who? To the body. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. If you're a toe, you're still part of the what? The body. If you're an eye, you're still part of the body. If you're an ear, you're still part of the body. If you are a member of the body of Christ, you are a member of Grace Baptist Church, you have a function that is needed, that God has gifted you to be able to use in the body of Grace Baptist Church. According to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, notice he says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says, listen, when you use your gift, you have to use it through supernatural strength. It's the Spirit of God that's working through you to do the work. He says, listen, as you speak the word of God, it should be as if God spoke. When you minister, it should be as if God ministers. That's because it's the Spirit of God who does the ministry in and through us. Amen. And how are we going to do that? How are we going to be in church that is empowered by the Spirit of God? Anybody got an idea? That's a good one. How about we pray together? Isn't that what they did in Acts? They came together and prayed, and the Spirit did what? Moved through them and enabled them and empowered them to do what? Use their gifts in the spirit and in the flesh. You see how all this goes together? Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. George preached on this a few weeks ago, but in 4 verse 16 he says, listen, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. How are we going to love one another when most of us do what we're supposed to do? That's not what the passage says. It says when what? When every part does its what? Does its share. Then the body of Christ comes together and it has an amazing sense of love. And there's this love that now is overflowing in the body. And then in John chapter 13 verse 34 it says, and a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, when we are doing what God simply says, when we are praying, when we are loving, when we're using our gifts and serving, then what happens is the world sees this love and there'll be people begging to come to Grace Baptist Church. Just like in the early church, even though it was in a pagan and fallen and broken and evil world, there were people who were added to the church daily because they were seeing the church praying together and loving one another and serving and using the gifts that God had given them. And there were people who were attracted and said, man, I've never seen this type of love before. Where does it come from? And you can say, oh, it doesn't come from us. Let me tell you, it comes from Jesus. You see, that's what it means to be the body of Christ. We are the physical representation of Jesus to this world. We are the physical representation, Grace Baptist Church, of Jesus to this community. And it's when all of us work together that God will do amazing things. There's a story in the Bible in 2 Kings about a man named Naaman. Naaman had leprosy, and he wanted it to be healed. And he heard about a prophet named Elisha, and he heard that he had the ability, where he healed other people before, and his servant had heard about it, so Naaman decided, I'm going to go see Elisha, and Elisha's going to do this great, spectacular miracle, and I'm going to be healed. So he traveled a long way, and he finally got there, and he met with Elisha. And he was waiting for Elisha to do some amazing waving of his hands and calling down heaven and him to be healed. But Elisha said, listen, this is what I want you to do. Go to the Jordan River, wash yourself 7 times, and you'll be healed. Naaman was furious. And this is what he said. He said, you know what? If that's what I'm going to do, that water is unclean. There's cleaner water in my area. Just forget it. And he decided he was just going to walk away and stay with the leprosy. And a servant came to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? And so Naaman decides, you know what? I'm just going to do this simple thing that the man of God told me to do. And he went in the water and he was healed. Now, there may be some of us here to say, man, if we could go maybe have a great retreat and we could all climb to Mount Whitney and meet with God there as a church, maybe the fire of heaven would come down and God would send revival and we could come back and see God do great things in and through us. And maybe some of us would get excited about that. But the truth is God has said this. Church in the last days, if you will do this, if you will pray, if you will love one another, if you will use your gifts and serve, Jesus will be glorified forever and ever through you. You see, folks, all we have to do today is decide if we're just going to be simply obedient. And it's going to take each of us, because each of us are part of the body, if you've truly given your heart over to Jesus Christ. And I don't understand it, but this is what I believe. I believe that if we'll be obedient to what God says, God never lies. And God will do amazing things in and through us to bring glory to Jesus. Let's pray.